The Public News Service Daily Newscast, August 16, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. First, we head to Florida, where health policy experts highlighting a multitude of concerns regarding the state's Medicaid redetermination process, claiming that it is resulting in a lack of coverage for eligible children and their families.
During a media call on Tuesday, advocates argued that despite the Florida Department of Children and Families' stated plan to manage the unwinding of the public health emergency, the reality has been marked by chaos and confusion. Official data released in late July by CMS show that in the first month after federal continuous coverage provisions for Medicaid ended, 249,427 Floridians were disenrolled, 82% of whom had their cases closed for procedural or red tape reasons, such as failure to respond to a notice. Erica Monet Lee from the Florida Policy Institute says that the state's call center wait time ranks among the worst of the 17 states that initiated redeterminations in April.
48% of the calls made to DCF were abandoned, and the average wait time for an initial contact was 40 minutes before being pushed to another helpline.
I'm Tramell Gomes.
Florida is the only state to not take advantage of the flexibilities offered by the Centers for Medicaid that would remedy common issues. Now from the New York Times, former President Donald Trump has 10 days to turn himself in to face accusations that he and 18 other people orchestrated a criminal enterprise to reverse the results of the 2020 election in Georgia and subvert the will of the voters. The Times reports the 41-count indictment also brings charges against some of Trump's most prominent advisors, including Rudy Giuliani, his former personal lawyer, Mark Meadows, who served as White House chief of staff at the time of the election. And new legislation aims to raise the minimum wage for the first time since 2008 in the Granite State.
The Raise the Wage Act would gradually increase the minimum wage to $17 an hour by 2028, a boost for essential service workers in New Hampshire. The state matches the current federal minimum wage of $7.25. Jobs with Justice National Policy Director Adam Shaw says the bill would put an end to what he calls starvation wages.
It's really a do or die time for our elected officials to fulfill the promises they make for workers to have a better life.
Shaw says the bill would also eliminate the tipped subminimum wage over time, ensuring restaurant workers don't have to rely on the generosity of patrons to earn a living. Opponents of the bill say higher labor costs would force businesses to hire fewer workers. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
If the minimum wage had increased with productivity over the past 50 years, it would now be $23 an hour. This is Public News Service. In the quest for economic growth, some small businesses in North Carolina are facing challenges to accessing funding from federal economic bills, including the Infrastructure Bill, Build Back Better, and the ARPA.
These bills allocate billions of dollars for clean energy projects and have the potential to reshape the landscape for small companies. However, David Bilstrom, the owner of the consulting firm Flashing Red Lights, who used to head a manufacturing company, says limited and often obstructed paths to funding have left smaller businesses grappling to secure the necessary support for their ventures.
The federal programs don't really address the possibility that the business is unprofitable or is reinvesting, certainly not at scale.
Bilstrom says the best way for a business owner to access funding that is right for their business is to do their homework and even connect with someone experienced in business funding, like a consultant. Shantia Hudson reporting.
Meantime, fossil fuel companies continue to have friends in the public utilities sector. Eric Gladys has more.
In 2021, Colorado lawmakers required utilities that supply natural gas for heating homes and businesses to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 4% by 2025 and by 22% by 2030. This month, Xcel Energy released its Clean Heat Plan, the first of its kind in the nation, which outlines how the company will meet those targets. Brett Anton is a field organizer with the Colorado Sierra Club.
And there are a number of different ways it can do that. It can do that through electrifying and energy efficiency, which we view as the best and the safest way to do things.
Xcel says it's committed to delivering lower carbon energy service to its customers, but insists natural gas is the most affordable way to heat homes and businesses. The company's plan also includes what Anton describes as untested and expensive technologies, including biofuels and hydrogen.
Finally, Mike Mullen lets us know next week parts of Wisconsin will again see the return of near 90-degree temperatures. Animal rights voices say as the hot stretches become more common, it is important for pet owners to take both short and long-term precautions.
The Environmental Protection Agency says under the threat of climate change, the Midwest is experiencing heat waves in greater frequency. Kristen Schrank of the Wisconsin-based group Alliance for Animals says in general, ripple effects from a warming planet pose threats in a variety of ways.
We're experiencing extreme heat and cold, wildfires, smoke, and poor air quality. So this is not only impacting, you know, humans on the planet and their companion animals, but it's also impacting wildlife.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here is on radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.